Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be now and always acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. If a movie were to be made of your life, what kind of movie would it be?
Boring.
Somebody else said that at the 8 o'clock. Somebody said boring, somebody said thrilling. Would yours be a thriller, a comedy, a mystery, a drama, perhaps a chick flick, a horror movie? And which Hollywood stars, I wonder, would do each of us justice? There's a challenge. Now, of course, every life is really a story of many chapters. Perhaps a chapter might call for romantic comedy. Perhaps a chapter of tragedy. A chapter of action. A chapter of drama. But then what if the movie were not about you? What if the movie was an epic? An epic tale on a much bigger canvas, and you were just one small character in it. Would you agree to be in such a movie? And what would that movie be about? For John the Baptist, of whom we heard in the Gospel, the bigger context, his movie, was about the coming of the Messiah and the kingdom of God. For some of us, the bigger context of our lives might be something very real and concrete. For some in our community, it might be the story of a war and migration and the struggle for peace and justice and prosperity and civilization. For some, it might be the story of the building of a nation or a city or an institution. For others, it might be a story of racial emancipation or the journey for justice in the politics of gender or sexuality. Perhaps not all of us, but some of us might be able to say, my story has just been one tiny strand in this bigger story. And to understand my life and the things I've done and the choices I've made, you'd really need to know something about that much bigger story. And maybe some here could say such a thing. But in this morning's epistle reading, the reading from Ephesians, the Apostle Paul presents that bigger story which gives meaning and direction to all our lives as believers in Jesus Christ. And so, what is this epic tale? What is it about? Paul leaves us hanging for several verses in that first chapter of Ephesians as he builds up the suspense. He says in verse 8, "With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will." And that word mystery means something you wouldn't know if you weren't told it. But Paul hasn't yet told us. He's tantalizing the reader. We're already 8 verses into his letter, and he still hasn't told us what it's all about. With all wisdom and insight, he says, he has made known to us the mystery of his will. A plan devised in his good pleasure, he says. A plan he set forth in Christ, he continues, and we're still waiting for the punchline. A plan for the fullness of time, he goes on, and we're still hanging, waiting. It's like one of those long-winded stage introductions to a 19th century magician. Every adjective building up the suspense higher and higher before the magician comes and performs on the stage. It's like one of those 10-minute orations before we find out who's going to get the Lifetime Achievement Award at the Oscars. And Paul is building it up and up before he finally says it. The mystery of his will, the plan devised in Christ, the plan for the fullness of time. Verse 10 tells us it is to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. That's what the movie is about. That's the epic tale in which we are called to play our parts. The gathering up of all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. But what does that mean? The story of the Bible, the way it frames history, is the story of a world out of kilter with God. It's the story of an earth that is harder to farm than it should be, of people working harder than they should have to, of people suffering greater pain than they should have to, of nature redder in tooth and claw than it should be, of cultures divided and unable to understand each other as they ought, of civilizations toppled and forgotten, of people living lives in disregard of God, with only a few reaching out for him. And that's just the first 12 chapters of the first book of the Bible. But it's in that context, in answer to those not as they should be realities, that God sends Abraham, the father of faith, Moses, the bringer of the law, the prophets calling people back to God, and finally, Jesus himself, the way back to God. And God's goal, Paul says it in verse 10 of our reading, to bring all things in heaven and on earth back together under one head, even Christ. In verse 12, so that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might exist for the praise of his glory. And so the epic tale is about the whole of the universe returning to a place of unity and peace and order under God's loving rule and in relationship with him. And we who voluntarily choose to come together in unity and peace and order under God's loving rule and in relationship with him, we're the spearhead of that process. We're the first fruits of that return. Now, here's a question for the keen. Paul says you became a part of that story. You were included. When? Verse 13 tells us, when you heard the word of truth, when you heard the gospel of salvation and believed in him and were marked and sealed by the Holy Spirit. So it's a choice. It's an opt-in. The gospel invites us into that story. Now, not all of us can point to a time and place and say, that's when I heard the gospel of Jesus and that's when I first believed in him. And not all of us could identify a moment and say, that's when I was sealed by the Holy Spirit. But Paul's message still applies. That by believing in Jesus, by receiving his Spirit, by being included in him, you become part of a much bigger story, an epic tale, a tale that's not just about you, it's about the universe returning to God in peace, in unity and order, by his loving rule and in relationship with him. That's the story the gospel invites us into. In Jesus, we are baptized into that bigger life. And everything else that Paul writes in that letter of Ephesians, every other instruction he gives, flows from that vision of peace and unity and return to relationship with God. All his therefores flow from that vision. Therefore, he says in chapter 2, remember that Jews and Gentiles become one in Christ. Therefore, he says in chapter 3, I pray that you will be able to take hold of the full extent of God's love together with all believers. Therefore, he says in chapter 4, be humble and gentle and patient, bearing with one another. Therefore, he says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. You do it because That's what the movie is about. Therefore, he says in chapter 4, don't be fake with one another. Therefore, don't be angry with one another. Therefore, speak only what is wholesome and helpful for building others up. And in all these ways, the grand vision becomes the nitty-gritty of the Christian life. And finally, in chapters 5 and 6, come the contexts that Paul names as being where the rubber really hits the road. Here, instructions follow for wives, husbands, children, parents, fathers, children, slaves, masters. And if I might translate that, it is your household. Those with whom you live, those immediately around you, who will tell you if your life is truly caught up in this epic God-driven tale of peace and unity and order and the rule of God and relationship with Him, or if you're actually living in a movie that's just a chick flick or a tragedy or a drama or a light comedy. God's invitation is to be part of something epic, something thrilling. And so, with all that in mind, what is your movie about? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for revealing through your scriptures this plan from the beginning of time, this plan formed before the foundation of the earth. This plan for a universe held together in love. We thank you for your invitation to enter into that experience and that story. Today we pray it, that you would fulfill it, that you would draw us in. We pray it for ourselves. We pray it for one another. And we pray it for baby Elizabeth, as she is baptized into this epic story of which we are all a part. Make your words real in our lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.